Good morning. Today's topic of Bavashas Kuf Nun Vav. We are in Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We are a little bit less than halfway down on the Amud. We're starting today with the words Ibailahu. Ibailahu is about 15 lines from the top of the Amud on Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We're talking about a child selling property. Or I should say better, a young adult selling property. So we talked yesterday just from a broader perspective. So let me just recap what we some of the points we made yesterday, and that is that when it comes to buying and selling any kind of commodity, so how old do you have to be in order to buy and sell? So we could start with putting the age of 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl, meaning at that point in time they can sell, and their sale is going to be a sale. They're old enough. They're adults. They're chayav and mitzvahs in the Torah. They're responsible for all their actions in terms of averos and mitzvahs. So in terms of sales, same thing as well. All sales that they make will be good. We also pointed out yesterday that the Chachamim recognized that, again, and it certainly is not our culture nowadays, but back then, you were 10 years of age, you're 11 years of age, sometimes you just simply had to fend for yourself. And so if you were proven to be smart enough, have the basic cognitive faculty to understand what buying means, what selling means, so then you could sell already at a younger age, and the sale will be a recognized sale. So as long as you have some basic business acumen, so you could be selling an object at 11, 10 years of age. The Gemara does not give a hard number in terms of when that is. Obviously, this is really going to just be dependent on cognitive development, but as long as you have some sort of business acumen, you can even sell at a younger age. So really, the number can be below 13. And as we pointed out yesterday, when it comes to selling your parents' property, and the way the Rashbam sets it up yesterday, we're talking specifically about selling your parents' property. It doesn't seem to be that we're just, at least according to the Rashbam, it doesn't seem like we're talking about the generic sale of property. But when you're selling your parents' property, so there the Chachamim said that this is a very serious matter, selling off ancestral property. Sometimes people have to do it. But you have to be older. How much older do you have to be? So there were two opinions we saw yesterday in the Gemara. Either you have to be the age of 18, or you have to be the age of 20. Okay. So then and only then would you be allowed to sell your ancestral property that you inherited by your parents. So basically what the Chachamim did is that the Chachamim basically blocked the sale of property. So in other words, okay, like we find in our country, there is, you know, the our country puts set certain guidelines in terms of when you could buy alcohol, when you could buy tobacco. And in other words, then if you're underage, it's illegal to do so. So, you know, the Chachamim did something similar. Obviously, you know, we're talking about just the sale of land, but the Chachamim, they basically did something as well, and that is that they put an underage cap in terms of selling your father's property, and that is going to be either 18 to 20 years of age. Later on this morning, we're going to see the Gemara is very clear. The halacha is 20, meaning that's the accepted opinion of the Gemara, that 20 years of age is the benchmark in which you then can sell your father's land if you decide to do so. Okay, this is what we discussed yesterday, and Ibailahu. This is where we are picking up right where we left off yesterday. It's Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis, and it's about 50 lines from the top of the Amud. Ibailahu, the Gemara asks the following question, Tochzman, Kilifnezman, Ula Acherzman. So let's say you are in your 20th year. Okay, so in other words, you haven't completed your 20th year yet, but you're within your 20th year, parenthetically. When the Gemara says the number 20, you have to be 20 years of age. The Gemara doesn't say it the way we say it. In other words, we say we're 20 when we finished 19 years. In other words, the way we talk is that when you finish 19 years, you're on your 20th birthday. Somebody asks you how old you are, you say you're 20, which is right. But, in other words, from the Gemara's perspective, when the Gemara says the number 20, the Gemara means when you finished your 20th year, meaning basically your 21st birthday. So the Gemara's question is like this. So let's say now you're in your 20th year. Now again, I know there are two opinions. There's either 20 or there's 18. I'll just say 20, because I know that's the halakha. I know the Gemara is going to conclude like that. So let's say you're in your 20th year. Okay, so you're pretty close to the age, but you're not there yet. So are you now going to be in a position where you could sell? So Rava Amar Rav Nachman Tochzman Kilifnezman. So this is going to be a debate as well. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman. Actually, both opinions are going to be in the name of Rav Nachman. Rav, of course, in the name of Rav Nachman, that Tochzman Kilef Nezman. No, that if you're 20 years of age, meaning you haven't completed your 20th year, right, from the Gemara's perspective, you're still 19, so the... it's Kilef Nezman, meaning you're underage, and therefore you can't sell your ancestral land. Rava Barav Shila Amar Rav Nachman Tochzman Kalachazman. And Rava quotes in the name of Rav Nachman, no, that that if you are what we would call 20, from the Gemara's perspective, it means that you are in your 19th year. So then, Tochzman Kalachazman, so even though you haven't hit your 21st birthday, nevertheless, you'll be allowed to sell your the property. Now the Gemara says, so basically now, two opinions in terms of from the age of, again, I'm going to talk like the way we talk in our, you know, in our society. From 20 to 21, we have a debate in the Gemara whether or not you could sell ancestral land. Now, the Gemara points out that Rava never actually said it, but it's pretty clear from the following episode. So what happened was is that there was a guy who was Tochzman, meaning he did not hit his 21st birthday. He was 20 years of age. And again, from the Gemara's language, it means that he is before, it's before he is, again, from the Gemara's perspective, 20. I'm sorry, this point is confusing. We don't talk exactly the same way the Gemara does. The Gemara is saying the number 20, the Gemara really means what we would call the 21st birthday. So the Gemara says, so he was 20 years of age, meaning he was under, let me just simply say underage. He was underage, and he sold his father's property. And the matter came in front of Rava. And Rava says, he's too young, meaning he didn't hit his, again, from the Gemara's perspective, 20th year. And therefore, it is a benchmark. Therefore, the sale's not a sale. Now, we know is Rava's ruling. Rava says that the sale's not a sale. He invalidated the sale. We don't know why he invalidated the sale, so we assume that it's because he didn't hit the cutoff. The Gemara says Velohi, but the Gemara says, look, we know what he said, but we don't know why. And the Gemara basically saying, so let's correct ourselves. That's not the reason why he said that the sale is not good is not because that the sale is simply it's not because the sale is because he's too young, but rather over there it had to do with another issue, and that is Hasam Shatusa Yisera Sachazabe. What he saw was that even though the kid was in theory able to sell the property because Tochzman Kilef Nezman, but he was immature. He was just a silly kid. And the idea is over here is that the Chachamim wanted to block a person from selling his father's land because he's not, meaning even though from a halachic standpoint, he's an adult. He's chayv b'mitzvos. He's subject to punishment if he does not avera. All true, true. But this is a very serious matter. And the Chachamim basically said, we want to know that he has the wherewithal, the cognitive capability to take this seriously. And in this particular case, Rava saw that this kid was immature. Why? Because the kid was doing silly things. Like, for example, says the Gemara, is that as part of the estate that he inherited from his father, he got slaves. And then with no good reason, he was freeing the slaves. We know there's an issue in the Torah that when you have a slave, so you shouldn't free the slave. And he was doing it. Now, even though the Torah says you're not allowed to do so, but if you do so, it is effective. And he was doing so, and there wasn't a good reason. Now, parenthetically, we all know the Gemara elsewhere that says that there was a scenario in which they needed a minion, and they needed a tenth man. Somebody had a slave, somebody freed the slave, and they used him for the tenth man. If you have a good reason to do so, you may do so. But for no reason, so you're not allowed to do so. So he saw that the kid was doing that. Again, he's not a kid. He's a young adult. But he saw he was doing that. And that's why it says Rava, that's why it says the Gemara, Rava blocked the sale. Shachle gidol b'menashe l'Rava yom din rabbeinu tinokus basar basre shana v'yamechad yodas betiv maso matamahu. I have a particular scenario. The Gemara, this is Gidol b'menashe inquiring of Rava. I have a scenario where I have a 14-year-old girl, but, again, 14 years old, meaning from a halachic standpoint, really an adult. So it's not a, you know, from the Gemara's perspective, she's a woman. So from a halachic perspective. And she's a bright girl. She's 14 years of age, but she understands she has basic business acumen. So, and I know this to be so. I spoke with her. She understands what it means to sell property. So now that even though there has been a cutoff date of what we now said is 20 years of age, but I know that she has mental the mental capacity to sell property. Shalach Le. So Rav's response is Im Yodes Betiv Maso Matan Mecha Mekach Umachra Memkar. So Rav's response is, if you know in this particular case that this person who is quote unquote underage for selling property has basic business acumen, so then the sale can be a valid sale. V'lishlech leitinuk, now it's just interesting, says the Gemara, asking a question about a 14-year-old young lady, why not ask about a guy? So the Gemara says, Maisa Shaya Kachaya. Gemara says, because he wasn't asking theoretically, it was a practical case, and the case was, is that a girl inherited her parents' property, and she was 14 years of age, and that's why he gave that example. Because it wasn't theoretical, it was a simple, practical case. V'lishlech leitinuk, why didn't he ask about 12? Gemara says the same answer. Because it wasn't theoretical. It was a practical case. He was actually asked this question about a 14-year-old young lady who wanted to sell her parents' property. Okay. Skip the parentheses. Move to the middle of the next line. So, avua kigidol b'menashe. So there was a person who was under 20 years of age. It was a man. And he was selling his father's property like Gidol bar Menashe, meaning like we just saw in the Gemara, where if you know the person has business acumen, even though they're quote-unquote underage, the sale is a valid sale. Also, coming to Rava Amrle, Krove, Zil Ochol Tamare, Vishade Be Kishusa Be Rava. So now, even though the sale is a valid sale, because we said, underage selling of ancestral property is generally prohibited, but an exception is made when you know that the particular person has business acumen and understands what it means to sell property. So in this particular scenario, so the kid sold his parents' property. He was under 20 years of age, but he did have business acumen. Now, what the relatives basically were saying to the kid is, you know, there's a way for you guys back the property. Okay. In other words, what the relatives were giving was basically some unscrupulous advice. You can get back the property. You know what you're going to do? When you see Rava, you're basically going to act silly. You'll act silly so that Rava will look at you and say, oh no, he's underage, and on top of that, he does not have basic business acumen. So here's what you do. So, Shadi Be Kashisa Be Rava. I'm sorry. Echol Tamar V'Shadi Be Kashisa Be Rava. So when you go in front of Rava, so eat some dates and just throw the pits of the date at Rava. Okay, and by doing so, you're basically going to show to Rava that you don't have your wits about you. And then what Rava is going to do is then he's going to validate the sale, and that will be a way in which we can get the property back. Okay, Avad Hachi, that's exactly what he did. So Amalu Zvina Lazvine, and the relatives gave, I'm going to say this not as a positive thing, but the relative gave good advice. Now, it's not good advice. Meaning, it was a ruse. He was doing this only to get back the property. But it worked. And when he was throwing the pits of Rava, Rava said, this kid's out of his mind. Or he's certainly not mature enough to understand what's going on. He doesn't have any sophistication. Therefore, Rava retracted the sale of the land. Ki kakas v'le shtara amrele lekuchos zil emale l'Rava. Now, they were writing up the shtar. Now, the shtar over here meaning the psak beis din, meaning Rava came up with a ruling, which is that we're going to void the sale of the land. And so now that Rava ruled that way, so a court document was being written up. So now the buyers of the land said to this same kid, oh, why don't you tell Rava the following, which is zil emale l'Rava Megillas Esther b'zuza shtar demar b'zuza. You know, if I buy Megillas Esther, it costs a zuz. Okay, it costs a lot more than the zuz today. But when you buy Megillas Esther, it costs a certain amount of money. So now, when Rava's sofrim, meaning the scribes in his court, were writing up the document, they were asking of zuz for the document. So the seller said to the kid, a zuz for the document? That seems to be a little bit pricey. A Megillas Esther costs a zuz. So you want me to pay a zuz for the document? So now, that demonstrates business acumen. So now, as the kid now was saying this to Rava, how can you charge me a zuz for the court document? So Rava's like, oh no, he gets it. This kid gets basic business acumen. So the kid went over to Rava, told him exactly what was said over by the Lekuchos, and Amrle Zvina Zvina. So Rava says, He says, now I see that the throwing of the pitch at me was just a ruse. And really, the kid does have business acumen. Look, he's protesting to how much the court document should cost. He knows what it means to buy and sell. So, Amru le krove lekuchos agmuru. So now the relatives of the kid said, wait, one second. He only said it because the buyers told him to say it. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So Amar Lahu, so Rav says, no, he does know what he was talking about. Meaning, Rav is basically going to say, I know he was fed the line. But even as he was fed the line, he understands what he's saying. Mizbar le savre, kevin de mizbar le v'savar medeyada. So once he was fed this line, but he understands what he's saying, meaning, I see that he's not just parroting the line. I see that he understands what he's actually saying. I now understand that he does have business acumen, and therefore the sale is going to be a valid sale. The fact that he threw pits at me, we'll call that chutzpah. Meaning, he didn't do that because he was silly or foolish or immature. He did that just simply because he had chutzpah. Amar Ravuna Bar Rav Yeshua, ula edus eduso edus. Okay, now, what about testifying? So, we now have established in the Gemara that there's something called underage selling when it comes to the sale of property. You can't sell property if you're underage. Again, exceptions are made for somebody who has clear business acumen, but generally speaking, there's underage selling of ancestral property. The Gemara now turns to the following discussion. What about the following? You're now 15 years of age. You're underage in terms of the sale of property. Can you serve as a witness? Basically, the question is of the Gemara is, can you testify for something that you yourself can't do? Now, let's keep this in mind. You can't sell property at 15 years of age. I'm just throwing out a number. You can't sell property at 15 years of age, but that's only because of a rabbinic ban. It's not because you're not an adult. You are an adult. So it's a really interesting question. Can you testify for something that min haTorah, really you're in a position where you can do, and it's only because of a rabbinic ban that prohibits you from doing so? So can you testify about such a matter? So, this is the Gemara's discussion. I'm Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua, la edus eduso edus. So the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua, he can testify about the sale of the land. I'm a Marzutra, lo amar nela lematata v'makakalo. So Marzutra says, whoa. He can testify, but not about the sale of the land. He can only testify about the sale of movables. Because he himself can sell movables, therefore he can testify it. But he can't testify about the sale of property. He's not in a position where he can sell property. Therefore, he cannot serve as a witness for that. So the Gemara says, now what's the difference? Now, difference is obvious. We just said it. By movables, he can do so. Therefore, he can testify. By land, he's underage. Therefore, he can't testify. The Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. Ha-pu'utos, mechan mekach u'memkar mekar, b'metatlin. That if you are, let's say, pu'utos is a term that the Mishnah used to describe a kid who is 9-10 years of age. He's more than underage. He's not an adult yet. And as I pointed out in the beginning of the shiur today, that the rabbis allowed him to make sale, again, as long as he has clear understanding of what it means to sell things. He could sell movables. So, I'll ask you a simple question. If you're telling me that testimony is going to be contingent on something he can or cannot do, you want to tell me now that if I have a 10-year-old boy who has basic business acumen, who is allowed to sell movables, so he's allowed to testify now about it? That can't be. It's an impossible conclusion. The Gemara says, "Hachinami de edus and edus." You want to tell me that now he can testify? So the Gemara says, "Yeah, you're right, but you're only right on that point, because let's consider. In order to testify in general, you have to be an adult. So even though the rabbis allowed a 10-year-old to sell movables, that was a special dispensation was made, kidei chayev, so that he can live, so that he can fend for himself, so that he can basically do some basic business so that he can eat. But in order to testify, you have to be an adult. The Torah says, v'amdu shnei hanashim, that two people stood up, meaning two men stood up. And so therefore, even though he's allowed to sell movables, he can't testify. Amar amemar u matana so matana. Now, where are we at right now in the Gemara? If, let's say, you are between the age of 13 and 20, so you can buy and sell any movables, you can buy and sell property in general. Again, I'm presenting the Gemara like the Rashbam. You can buy property in general, but if it's ancestral property, so the Chachamim placed a ban on you that you cannot sell it until you are Esrim Shana, until you're 20 years of age. What about if you don't sell the land, but what if you gift the land between 13 and 20? Interestingly, a Maamar says that you can do.
Gifting.
You can't sell ancestral property, but you can gift ancestral property. Amalei Rav Ashi la Maamar. Now perhaps you're thinking this, and Rav Ashi says to a Maamar, that doesn't make any sense. Hashto mazvina de mekabel zuzemar delo, dilma mozul mazvin, kol shekein matana delo matilei velo midi. Now, why did the rabbis place a ban on a kid not selling his father's property from 13 to 20 years of age? The answer, says the Gemara, is because for fear that he's going to get ripped off. Meaning, he doesn't understand what fair market value means. He doesn't understand things like loan to value. In other words, they're basic things he doesn't understand in the sale of property. So for fear that he's going to get ripped off, so the Chachamim place a ban. And that's when he gets something in exchange for the sale. If he's gifting it, he's not getting anything. So you mean to tell me that, oh, sale? No, that he can't do. Gifting? Oh, that he can do. Gemara says it doesn't make any sense. So Amar lay, so the Gemara says in response, we're now on the top of Kuf Nun Vav Amar Aleph. So the Gemara says, you're telling me that the whole rabbinic decree is because we're afraid he's going to get ripped off. I'll ask you a question. Let's say the property was set at 5. The fair market value for the property was 5. And he sold it for 6. Meaning our 15-year-old young man sold it for 6. So now he didn't get ripped off. And better than that, he did very well. He got more than fair market value for the property. Now, you want to tell me now, under those circumstances, it's going to be okay? It's not going to be okay. Why not? Because, again, he's underage. The ban does not take into consideration whether he got ripped off or he got even a better deal. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says that really what the rabbis were concerned about is that they know that when it comes to a young adult, someone who is between 13 to 20, they love money. And they love money. Meaning, and if you say the sale is a good sale, and the Gemara says, it's a beautiful expression of the Gemara, you just jingle some money in front of a young man, and he's going to end up selling all the property of his father. So the truth of the matter is that the rabbinic ban is just generally concerned with the idea that before 20 years of age, you just don't understand the real value of money. Somebody throws a little bit of money on you. You have, let's say, some sort of predatory buyers, right? Very popular here around these parts. You see billboards everywhere. We'll buy your home.
So why aren't we worried about the
children? So okay, right, and it's fair. But in other words, basically, your point is a good point. Basically, it's ancestral property that the Chachamim place most, in this case, all their attention on. So I hear your point, but so because we know that they really don't understand the value of money, and you throw a little bit of money in their direction, and they're going to get super super excited. So the Gemara says, so that's why the rabbis made a ban. So again, the Gemara's point is as follows: when it comes to sale, we understand he's very vulnerable to predatory buyers. However, avagabe matana. But now let's talk about gifting. Gifting. So he didn't get lured into gifting the land. Meaning, if this young man is gifting the land, clearly he has an understanding of what he's doing. And the Gemara says, "Avagabe matani yilav dehavale hanamine lo haveyayivle matana." So Amar Rabbanan to have a matana sa matana de la avde luhumile. So the Gemara says it must be that there's some sort of understood reciprocity that he's getting for the gifting of the land. People don't just give away their property. They understand that I'm gifting it to you, but I'm gifting it to you because there is some sort of consideration. What that consideration is, the Gemara just simply says, Abdulluhu Buluhumili. Meaning, in the future, he'll do something for me in return. Right? Right? In other words, it was a carefully thought out plan when a person is gifted land. However, if it comes to sale, he's vulnerable to predatory buyers. And so, therefore, the Chachamim place the ban until he's 20 years of age.
He can be also tricked with Maybe they take him to Disneyland.
Right. No, I understood. Understood. But money, the Gemara says that money people, young adults get easily turned on money, on cash. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Bokin LeKedushin LeGerushin LeChalitza LeMiunin. Okay.
What about witness, we accept witness above age 13 or
not? The Gemara favored the argument. That he has to be for him to testify about the sale of land. He has to be above 20.
As a witness,
13. As a witness, 13. Only because he can't sell land, he can't serve as a witness for the sale of land. But for everything else, he could be a witness. Okay. Now, Gemara's discussion over here goes like this. Okay, we are now in Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. We are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, and we're going to be discussing the following scenario. Now, obviously, this is very uncomfortable, and you know, in our day and age, like, this is not going to happen. But in other words, you want to know that the person is now an adult. In other words, halacha dictates that when you become an adult, so now you, all your actions are going to be valid actions. Both in terms of marriage, in terms of divorce, in terms of chalitza, in terms of miyun. So you have to be an adult. What is the benchmark of being an adult? We've said this time and again throughout the Gemara. So there are really two factors that make a person an adult. Number one, shanim. You have to be years. In other words, for a boy, 13. For a girl, 12. Number two is that you have to be... you have to have physical signs of maturation. Shtei sa'aros, two pubic hairs. So those are the two factors in which will make a person an adult. Now, the Gemara here does not discuss it. The Gemara elsewhere discusses. And that is Chazaka d'Rava. Chazaka d'Rava meaning that elsewhere the Gemara talks about where Rava says that once a young man turns 13 years of age, we have a general assumption that we make that he in fact has the physical maturation signs. Okay, there is a discussion whether or not we assume that for Dine d'Rabbanan or even Dine d'Araisa. Okay. But in other words, there's this idea that there is some sort of presumptive measure that's done. Assumption that are made. However, the Gemara now is going to be discussing where he just turned 13, she just turned 12, and we don't know whether or not they have hit puberty. They have the physical simanim. So, under certain circumstances, a bedikah needs to be done. An examination needs to be done in order to ascertain whether or not they're an adult or they're not an adult. For example, the Gemara gives four different examples in which an examination is going to be done. So, Amar Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel Bokin LeKedushin. So, number one for Kedushin. Now, what does that mean, Kedushin? So, again, I'm going to say the Gemara like the Rashbam. And that is that, let's say the kid turned 13 years of age. Okay, he had his bar mitzvah, and then he was mekadesh a woman, and then he performed kiddushin to a woman. Now, is she a married woman? It really depends. Meaning, he's not an adult until you hit both factors, both years and simanim. But he just turned 13 years of age, and quite frankly, we don't know. And now, if she accepted kiddushin from somebody else, does she need a divorce from that second person? So, under these circumstances, a bedikah is going to be required. I was just I was reading a biography of Gedolim, so Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, right? The YU base measures was named after him. He never came to America. He lived in Europe. He died in Europe. He died before Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Spector, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. So. He died before the turn of the 19th century. So anyway, so he was an Elul. He was a child prodigy. He mastered Shas at an extraordinarily young age. He got married at 13 years of age. Okay.
Any relationship with Zurich Spector?
I don't. It's a fair question. I don't know. So the. So he got married at 13 years of age. So if you have this 13-year-old young man who performs kiddushin, is it a valid kiddushin? So we need to know if he's an adult. So under those circumstances, bedikah, gerushin, divorce, same story. Meaning, in order for a man to divorce a woman, he has to be 13 years of age. The Gemara in just a moment is going to say, well, if we did the bedikah for the kiddushin, so then we already know what the story is for gerushin. Why did the statement of Shmuel include both Kiddushin and Gerushin? The Gemara is going to ask that question. Chalitza, once you have a situation in which your brother dies, leaving the widow, leaving no children, so you have a mitzvah of Yibum. If you don't want to do Yibum, you have to do Chalitza. The halacha is that both the brother and the sister-in-law have to be adults. In other words, you can't do chalitza if either of them are a minor. So again, can you do chalitza if he just turned 13? Bidika needs to be done. And finally, Mian. Now, Mian's interesting. We discussed Mian a number of times throughout Shas. And the basic idea behind Mian is that in the event where a girl does no longer has a father, and so as a minor, she can't get married. Meaning when she has a father, the Torah gives the right to the father to marry her off. But if there's no father, so min haTorah, she can't get married. However, the Chachamim wanted to protect her and put her in a position of security. So therefore, what the Chachamim allowed is either her mother or her brother to marry her off before she turns 12 years of age. So that is a rabbinically legislated marriage for this young girl. Again, for her protection. And under these circumstances, under these limited circumstances, she can, when she turns 12 years of age, turn to her husband and say, thank you, but no thank you. And she can annul the marriage through a process called miyun. So miyun, the word miyun actually means refusal. She'll just simply say no. It is what we have, closest thing to we have, what we would call it an annulment. It actually severs the entire marriage. Since the marriage to begin with was only a din de rabbanan, so therefore she has that opportunity to do miyun when she turns 12. So once again, she turned 12 years of age. That doesn't mean she's an adult. It just simply means she has part A of adulthood. She has the shanim. In terms of samanim, so a bedika is going to be done. Okay, I know there's follow-up questions. Who's doing the bedika, right? Yes, absolutely, yes. So who's doing the... I know there are follow-up questions. I'm just... Right now, let's keep the Gemara in the abstract. So a bedika needs to be done. Now, and in terms of selling ancestral property, you have to be 20 years of age. Okay? In other words, I know we've heard this already in yesterday's daf, but the Gemara says it again. Gemara asked the question which I foreshadowed. I don't understand. Kedushin, we did the bedika. Why are we doing the bedika again for Gerushin? Once you were examined and proven to be an adult, you're an adult. So the Gemara says, "Lo nitzrucha ela liyibum." Did not. So the Gemara says, "No." The case of divorce is not the follow up to the case of marriage, but rather we're talking about a case where marriage occurred at an even younger age. How can that happen? It can happen, and the Gemara paints the following scenario in which a man under 13 years of age, we'll call him a boy, under 13 years of age can enter into a marriage. It is in the case of Yibum. Now, I know this is, again, this is, I'm just going to deal with this so clinically. I'm just spitting out the facts. The facts are that in a Yibum scenario where the surviving brother is, let's say, 10 years of age, he's not an adult. However, if he has bia with his sister-in-law, the mitzvah of Yibum has been performed. And therefore, the surviving brother and his sister-in-law are husband and wife. Now, it's an interesting scenario. Now they're married, and he's not an adult. But for Yibum, all you need is a maisa bia. You need an act of bia. And that creates the marriage. And so now, 10 years of age, and by the way, you could be 9 years of age. In order for this to happen. In other words, the Chachamim say throughout Shas that a 9-year-old's bia is considered bia. It's halachically valid bia. So you have a 9 or 10-year-old who has relations with his widowed sister-in-law. So now they're married, and now can he divorce her? Oddly enough, he's going to have to wait. No, not me. Meaning the marriage is a Torah marriage. And in terms of divorce, he's going to have to wait. He's going to have to wait till he's 13 years of age. And those are the circumstances now where hitting 13 is only step one. Then you also need a bedika as well. And the Gemara quotes the...
So for Hebrew, it's only the age, it's not the bedika.
Right.
It doesn't have to be adult.
Right. Correct. Did not, the Gemara says, we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, what I just said is straight out of the Mishnah in Yavamos. That a 9-year-old, if he performs bia with his widowed sister-in-law, so now Yibum has been accomplished, and if they want a divorce, they're going to have to wait until he's 13 years of age. Now, in terms of the statement Shmuel made regarding chalitza, the Gemara says, that's to exclude herself from the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi is of the opinion that only the man has to be an adult for chalitza, not the woman. And Shmuel says, we don't side with that position. Rather, the position we side with is, in order for chalitza to be done, both the brother the brother-in-law and the sister-in-law have to be above age. They both have to be above 13 and 12. Makshin and Isha Leish, I'm sorry, Isha ben Gedola ben Ketana kamash malan, the Makshin and Isha Leish, delok Rav Yossi. Okay, and we don't subscribe to the opinion of Rav Yossi. Mion lafugim is Rav Yehuda. Now, in doing a bedika for Mion, meaning when this 10-year-old girl was married off either by her mother or by her brother, and when she turns 12, she has an opportunity at that point in time to do Mion, so we said a bedika. And the bedika is going to now ensure that she not only is 12 years of age, but on top of that, she also has Shtei Sa'aras. The Gemara says that excludes herself from the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Da'amar, ha'shiyar b'shchor, kamash malan, delok Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that Mion can be done by this 12-year-old, even if she has Shtei Sa'aras, she could still do Mion, and she can continue doing Mion until she has the majority of her private area covered in Sa'aras, covered in hair. Okay? And the Gemara says, Shmuel is telling us that he doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint. Now, he said, in terms of selling ancestral property, you have to be 20? Yeah, the Gemara says, because in yesterday's daf, we learned that there are two opinions. One is 18, the other is 20, and he's teaching us, Shmuel's teaching us that the age is 20. The accepted halachic age is 20. And now, as long as the Gemara now is spitting out halacha after halacha, the Gemara gives us another conclusion. Tochzman is considered lifnezman. So that means that when the Chachamim said that you can't sell ancestral property until 20 years of age, until you concluded your 20th year, so that means that any time before that, you're underage. And ve'ilchsa ke gidol ben Menashe, the Gemara also tells us that the halacha falls like gidol ben Menashe. that if you are if you show business acumen before 20, then you are allowed to sell ancestral land. Ve'ilchsa gemar zutra, the Gemara tells us that the halacha falls like Marzutra. Marzutra taught us. Sorry. That you can testify about metalton and about movables, but you can't testify about property. Okay, sorry for the extended pause. Ve'uchza kamemar, and the halacha follows like a memar. There's a difference between an underage selling land versus an underage gifting land. An underage, meaning if you're between 13 and 20, you're not allowed to sell land. But if you're between 13 and 20, you're allowed to gift land. And the Gemara noted that we could argue a distinction. The Gemara says that that argument is accepted halachically. And ve'ilchzak Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel Bekulo. And in everything we just got done saying, in the name of Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, that you do a bedika for Kiddushin, Gerushin, Chalitza, Mion. And the Gemara says all those are in fact the accepted halacha. Okay, so the Gemara over here really ties up the entire discussion in a neat bow and gives us a halacha in all the topics that we discussed over the course of yesterday's daf and now halfway through today's daf.
I think there's something good for married, divorce, yibum, but not for yibum.
You're right, because for yibum you don't have to be 13 for yibum. You can be under 13 years of age to do yibum. Okay, we are now up to the next Mishnah now. Up until this point in time, meaning we're in the ninth parak of Baba Basra, and we have been discussing now for some time, a considerable amount of time, this idea of the Shchemira. And the basic idea behind the Shchemira is that if a person is dying, and clearly he is reaching his end of life, so all you need is instruction from him, and you don't need a kinyan, and anything he instructs in terms of assigning, this is going to go to him, and this is going to go to him, so, at the point of death, everything he said is going to come into fruition. It's going to be followed, and there's no king that needs to be said. And since Daf Kuf Mem Vav, we've been on this topic now for 10 Dapim in Baba Basra. So going all the way back to Kuf Mem Vav, so the Gemara says that this is the basic idea behind Shchemira. We are now going to introduce ourselves to a Mishnah where there's another opinion. Okay, it's not accepted halacha, but there is another opinion regarding a shchemira, and that is, well, let's see the Mishnah inside. Hamechad nechasav apiv. If a person is distributing his assets right as he is dying, Rebbe Elazar Omer, echad bari ve'echad mesukan, nechasim sheish lamachrais niknim because of a shtar v'chazaka, v'she'en lamachrais and niknim ela b'meshicha. So do you want to know now how can he affect this transfer? Through the regular methods of transfer. Kinyanim, meaning according to Rabbi Elazar, even a mesukan, which is the same thing as a shchemira, even somebody who's dying, is going to need to perform a regular kinyan in order to effect a transfer. Meaning, according to Rabbi Elazar, the shchemira is not afforded the special dispensation that we've been talking now about for over a week and a half in the Gemara. But rather, he's treated just like a healthy person, and Rabbi Elazar, I don't know how else to explain it, doesn't subscribe to the special takana of shchemira. Okay, so it seems to be such a basic point in which he's disputing, he's disagreeing. Meaning, it's hard for me to process and understand. He doesn't hold of the gzera, or not gzera, but takana. He doesn't hold of the institution. I don't know. It's hard to understand how you can have such a variance of position, but he does. That's his opinion. So Amrullah, we're now on the top of Kufnan Vav Amud Beis. Amrullah, Ma'aseh Be'iman Shel Bnei Rochel Shaisa Chola. So the Gemara says, what about the mother of Rochel? What about Bnei Rochel, the sons of Rochel? Shaisa Chola, she was sick. The Amran, she said, Tenu Kavina Si Libiti. Now she had a particular, it was an article of clothing, and she wanted to assign it to her daughter. So she gave verbal instruction. She didn't do a formal kinyan, a formal transfer, and v'hi b'shtemas amana. This was a very valuable article of clothing, umesa, and she died. And so, what do we have now? A situation in which she was dying. She assigned an article, a very special article of clothing over to her daughter. And what did the Chachamim do, even though she made no formal kinyan? V'kimu es divareha. And they substantiated her words, meaning they basically said, yeah, that's right. So basically what the Chachamim is saying to Rebbe Elazar, how could you not subscribe to this whole idea of Shchemira? I'm telling you, we were there witnessing an event where a woman assigned her property over to her daughter before she died, and the Chachamim honored her wishes. So how could you tell me there's no such thing as Matna Shchemira? The Kimus Vera, Amr Lahem B'nei Rochel Tikbarem Imam. So Rebbe Elazar's response, really strong and really sharp. He says the sons of Rochel, it would have been good had their mother buried them. Meaning that, as the Gemara is going to explain in just a little bit, they are such unscrupulous people that the Chachamim wanted in this particular scenario that they get as little as they can. So here what the Chachamim did as a special, as a meta halacha ruling, is that they basically said, yeah, you know what, she wanted something to go to her daughter, that's less for the sons. In this particular case, sons are not good people. But in general, a dying person, in order to assign an asset over to somebody else, needs to do a formal kinyan. That's Rav Elazar's response to the Chachamim's case study. We start with the Gemara Tanya. The Gemara quotes the Brisa. Amalam Rabbi Elazar. Now we, in our Gemara we have the Girsa Eliezer. Right, let's change it to Elazar because it's most probably Rav Elazar of our Mishnah. So Amalam Rabbi Elazar Chachamim Maisa B'Meroni Echad. There was an incident once with somebody from Meroni. Shahaya B'Yerushalayim. That at the time he was in Yerushalayim. V'Hayilam Metaltal and Harbe. And he had a lot of assets. V'Yubikish Lindam Matana. And he wanted to gift them. Amrulo Ein Lahem Takanashi Yikne Al Gav Karka. And so they said to this person, you want to now assign your assets to somebody else before you die? So you're going to do it through regular mechanics of sale. Meaning, Kinyanagav. Kinyanagav, we know, the Gemara Kedushin tells us, the Mishnah Kedushin tells us, that you sell your movables in conjunction with your property, and the sale of both is going to be a valid sale. So if you want to properly assign some of your movable assets to somebody before you die, so therefore you have to do it through Kinyanagav. In other words, not shchim, not mana shchimira. Halach v'lakach beisela echad tzemach liYerushalayim. So what he did then is that he took property close to, proximate to Yerushalayim. Va'amar tzvona l'ploni v'ima me'atzon u'me'achavios. So he said that I'm going to give the northern portion of my newly acquired property to so-and-so, and agav, and in conjunction with that, I'm also attaching 100 sheep, 100 barrels of wine. Uderam l'ploni, and I'm going to give the southern portion to so-and-so, v'imo me'atzon u'me'achavios, and 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine. Umeis, and the person died, v'kimu chachamim esivarav. And now the chachamim substantiated his words because it wasn't just words. He did a formal kinyan. So, Rabbi Lazar says, I have a case study. Did everyone just see the case study that I just cited? Where you had this person that died, and was dying, I should say, and he wanted to sign property over to others, and the chachamim said, at the time, you want to do it, you have to do it with a formal kinyan. Rav Elazar says, that case study certainly proves my point, which is, there is no such thing as matnas chimera. And if a person wants to assign assets before he dies, he has to do it with a formal kinyan. Amar lo, the rabbis responded to him, and rabbi said, Misham Raya, Mironi Bar Yahaya. So the chachamim said back to Rav Elazar, you are missing an incredibly important detail in that case study, which, once we fill in this blank, is obviously not going to support your position. At the time when this person was assigning his assets to others, he wasn't dying. He was healthy. That's why a formal kinyan was necessary. But in the event that the person was dying, so we have this institution called Manas Chimera. So, Rav Elazar, your case study is not a good case study. You missed an extraordinarily important detail. And again, now, I can't fill in the missing gaps over here. Rebbe Lazar didn't know this. Rebbe Lazar disagreed with this. Rebbe Lazar was arguing with the facts of the case. I don't know. Meaning it's hard to really understand the back and forth over here. Meaning
but he accepted it.
Right. Well, at least where the Brisa ends, it seems that way. We don't hear his response. Okay.
Also, to qualify as man, you have to give away your entire property, not just. There should not be anything left.
The only difference between all your property and part of your property is it revocable? If the person doesn't die, but in terms of it being given to somebody else, it's going to go through in the event that the person dies, whether it's everything or whether it's even part of it.
So the rest has everything, has to give everything to one person, or can give everything to many people?
Debate. That's subject to a debate. I don't have the sources right now off the top of my head, but that's subject to a debate.
He was saying that the Shatz of Kenyan,
right,
he was considered a bull, and he was like
right.
And then right after that he died.
It could be. I mean, we're painting the picture. Meaning, Gemara doesn't say all that, but I hear you. Could very well be. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the. I know we have a little bit left to the Mishnah, but we'll pick it up with the Bnei Rochel. Right, we heard at the end of the Mishnah. Oh, the sons of Rochel. They should. I mean, again, I hate saying this, but this basically, I'm quoting. You know, they should have died earlier anyway. So, and we'll learn tomorrow what they did that was so egregious, and why the Chachamim felt that like they should get as little as possible. Okay, we'll do that tomorrow.